We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and Aboriginal people who are listening. We acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded.
Good morning. You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast. I'm Demetra Janakopoulos with...
Jean Maloney. Howdy.
How are you, Jean?
I'm pretty good, actually. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah?
And we're taking you through to 10 a.m. Of course, after us, we have the wonderful Sat Mag. And before I forget to mention it, yeah, we are on live stream today.
We are. You can go to joy.org.au. You can see us live in the flesh. Yeah,
Jane's dancing for you. Like, was that kind of like hip-hop?
I'm shimmying, baby. I'm shimmying.
Sort of a little bit of breaking. Is that what it's called now? Or
what?
Dubstep, you know, that moving of the... No, I don't know.
I don't know.
And how was your week this week?
My week was interesting, as always. Yeah. I have a bruise on my eye because I got smacked in the head by one of my children loading them in the car.
Oh, okay. All yes. Right. Not for nefarious reason, I hope.
No.
Okay.
They're lovely.
Look, I can't see it from here, so looks I hope like a feeling
little bit
okay.
Looks like a little bit of blue-green makeup, which is actually trendy, I think.
Oh, dear.
It's probably not.
No.
I'm not across the trends.
Well, I've felt inspired this week because I saw a news article, and a big shout-out to our Hungarian rainbow family, because this week they held one of the largest pride rallies ever in the beautiful city of Budapest. And a big, big love to all the allies, because, in fact, earlier in the year, the government, the Hungarian government, which is quite right-leaning, banned pride marches. And then the mayor of Budapest said, well, we're going to have a freedom rally, freedom march to celebrate the end of Soviet occupation of Hungary, and aka really a pride rally. And about 100
Soviet occupation.
Well, a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like it was a while ago.
But to what? So he said that was the reason.
Yeah. And then, well, yeah, aka a pride rally, because there are lots of pride flags. And about 100,000 people marched in the beautiful city of Budapest. So big love to everyone there. And
have you been to Budapest?
I've
never heard it referred to Budapest.
I think that's the proper way of saying
it. I'm sure it probably is.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Oh, really?
And gorgeous. It was a while ago. It was probably about 20 years ago. And I went with my partner at the time. And we were very warmly welcomed. So beautiful city, so big love to everyone. And especially, I know I said it, but I'm going to say it again, to the allies, because the allies of our community are so important and we need to cherish them. So
thank you to the people of Hungary. Do you know what? My boxing instructor, Almos, and his mother, who does spinal flow on me,
yeah,
both Hungarian.
There we are.
And they are the loveliest specialist, most special humans.
Specialist humans. I love that.
Well, she's a specialist in her area of spinal flow, and he's a specialist in the boxing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm sure we have a very large Hungarian population in Australia. Well, definitely Melbourne, Nam, where we're broadcasting from.
You're live from Victorian Pride Centre here in Melbourne.
It's inspiring. It really is inspiring because, you know, we are very privileged in Australia, and we are, you know, not yet, we haven't been told yet not to march, but there has been a time. And, you know, the right to protest is under threat in Australia in a very, you know, we're not going to get into that today, but well, maybe we need to, I don't know. But it is under threat in a very sort of subtle way, and it goes under the radar. So we always have to be ever vigilant, particularly our community, for the right to protest and to, you know, assert who we are and to be proud of ourselves.
It's a fundamental human right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peaceful protest.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads into what we're actually going to talk about today.
Well, and also something happened during the week to me, which leads in as well.
Yeah.
So I went to the Vietnamese bakery and I found plastic straws.
Wow.
And I was That's so excited because I hate and I'm sure I'm not alone. Joy listeners, 0427 Joy 949 or email honor at joy.org.au. Do you hate the paper straws? I don't think there's anyone out there that loves them, okay?
Yeah, fair enough.
And so I found these plastic straws at the Vietnamese bakery and I was just like, yeah! And then it got me thinking about the turtles.
Yeah,
absolutely. And why we banned them. And then it got to our topic, which we also discussed in a production meeting as well. So it all ties into the topic.
Yep.
Which is climate change.
Yeah. Well, it kind of evolved because it was like about, you know, we were talking about it and it's like, oh, you posed that question of should I care about climate change? And I admit, well, I got very judgy.
No, because I said I don't care about climate change.
Yeah, true. That you're being very kind to me.
I actually said it even more aggressively.
Yeah,
than
you've been very kind to me because, oh, wow, I admit, I didn't realise at the time, you know, I'm always open to be corrected, but I got quite judgy, didn't I?
You and did.
I
go, you're like, what do you mean you don't care?
What do you mean you don't care about climate change?
I also said, not only do I not care, I don't know anything about it. And so this week we've been looking into why.
Because yes. I do care. Why don't you care about climate change?
I care about a lot of things. Yes. I care about, you know, affordable healthcare. I care about all sorts of different topics. But climate change is just not one of them. And there's actually there's a lot of reasons in my defense.
Well, what has been an amazing, I mean, I always learn so much with this show with you. So thank you, Jean, because I really do learn a lot, even though firstly, how judgy I can be. But also, I'm really surprised that you're not alone. Climate apathy is a real thing.
Oh, it's definitely a real thing, no doubt about it.
So, well, I suppose that's our question today about, should we care? Why don't we care climate change?
We obviously should care.
Yeah, should's a difficult word.
So it's
word,
why
but, yeah.
we don't care.
Why don't we care about
and how can we change that?
Wow.
Big topic.
We're back to our big topics.
Yeah, we went from breakfast last week. We're back to big ones.
And look, if you're new to our show, we are very lucky. We have a wonderful podcaster, Mia Waterman, who uploads our show Tuesday, Wednesday each week. So please go to the Joy website, so joy.org.au/joyweekendbreakfast, and you'll see our shows. And, you know, we're hoping you're liking what we do and have a look at the shows that we've done in the past. And, you know, like, I think a really fun thing about it, if I may indulge, and that's it's showing our getting to know each other better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cute.
I'm falling in love with Demetra.
Yeah, we're falling
lovely,
in love.
Lovely platonic love.
Indeed. Well, yes, but you always feed me. So every time you feed me, I exclaim how much I love you. So clearly there's a
pattern. And I'm learning about your quirky little ways and how funny you are. So
I'm wearing a watch today.
It doesn't have a battery in it. Does it? Does it?
Not yet, but let's talk about that afterwards, maybe. But look, to get us going for this big topic about, you know, why don't we care about climate change, let's hit a song.
Yeah.
And the first song is Lie to Me, Vera Blue.
Yeah, I picked that one.
Wonderful. Thank you. I also love your song
selections. It's nice and chilled for a Sunday morning. Saturday morning. Forgot the day.
You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast. You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast with me, Demetra.
And me, Jean. Good morning. It's 17 minutes past 8 and we're bringing you through to 10 a.m. and we are tackling a huge issue in 2 hours.
As usual.
But we've sort of broken it up because we're talking about climate change. We're not going to explain what it is because that is impossible and go into the details of how it works. But we're talking about more about people's apathy towards it because I explained that I don't really care about it and I don't know anything about it and you got a bit upset about it.
I did, much to my horror.
And a lot of people out there would be upset, but also there's a lot of people out there that would be in the exact same boat.
Well, yeah, but I was really surprised, but I was surprised at my response. Like normally I would hope I'm a bit more empathetic, but I really just could not believe it.
Until you started researching it, and then, yes, it's all about learning, people.
Well, I'm a little bit worried also that maybe I am partly apathetic as well because you caught me out on a couple of little, you know, out where to put the empty coffee cup.
I'm trying to throw my coffee cup out.
I'm going, and hurry, like, we need to go.
Yeah, we need to go. And she's like, I don't know which bin.
Landfill.
And I was like, oh, well, hypocrisy. Is that a Greek word? Is it, Demetra?
Yes.
Yes, people. Hypocrisy. She got all judgmental. Okay, so just quickly, so just for listeners like me who don't know what climate change is, I'll just give a quick explanation that I learned from listening to a children's podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's the best way to learn.
Well, because they explain it so simplistically for a simpleton like me.
Well, not a simpleton, but they explain complex issues. I'm a big fan of that. When you mentioned that, I just thought, yeah, because I go to the children's books to.
What are you looking up in the children's book section? Please tell me.
Nuclear energy.
Oh.
Yep. And that's some very smart person has made it so a 6-year-old can six-year-old and Demetra can understand it.
Well. Yeah, you need it though. It's a good start, especially if you don't know anything about it. I mean, it's not that I didn't know anything. It's just that when a story would come on the news, I'd just glaze over and not listen.
Yep.
And so, in short, climate change, it was referred to as global warming because that's what's happening.
You're right.
The Earth's getting warmer as a result of the gases like greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide, they get trapped and they heat the earth, they heat the climate. So that's why it's being called global warming.
Okay.
But now it's sort of referred to as climate change because the effect of the warming is affecting the climates. So in, you know, places where it shouldn't be raining so much, it's pouring and it's flooding.
Right.
And it's affecting our climate. Like, it was still bloody warm here in April. It was like summer.
Yeah.
So that's the effect on the climate. Yeah. And so it's a result of burning fossil fuels like coal, oil, and gas. And yeah. And the effects are fires, heat waves, and, you know, ecological disasters. And so, yeah, that's a 30-second explanation that I learned.
Pretty good.
You like that?
That was very good. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks to the podcast.
Thank you, whoever put together that podcast.
Yeah, I'll put it out there because it's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, that's what it is. So, why don't we care? Why don't I care? So, there's a whole psychology about why people don't necessarily care about climate change. And I listened to a really good podcast and I read a couple of articles about from a Harvard professor, Dan Gilbert, who's a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And there's a few reasons. And, okay, so do you floss your teeth?
Yeah. I'm laughing because I have a feeling I know where this is going.
Well, here we go. Because also it's about personality types too.
Oh. So
I think. I think. Yeah. He didn't say that, but I think. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do you floss your teeth?
Yes.
Yes. Do you put extra superannuation in your super?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, he's being judgy now.
Okay. Do you stop drinking alcohol or change your diet despite knowing that in the long term it's not going to be good for you?
The two completely opposite things.
Alcohol and food. You can see the point I'm getting at.
I try to be better at both those things. I don't really succeed on that.
Yeah, because you enjoy them at the time.
Yes.
And you're not thinking about your future self.
Well, I do, but then it's like, yeah, but I could, you know, who knows what could happen tomorrow. So.
Yeah. Well, then what? That's my whole point about climate change.
Yeah, right, okay.
No, that's okay.
Penny's dropping, yeah.
That's not my whole point. But you get the point I'm making. So I'm not the
What's
kind of...
What's the connection with putting extra money in super?
Because so I'm not the kind of person, I don't have the personality, and there's a lot of us out there that don't think about the future consequences. So a lot of people don't floss their teeth, knowing that they need to for the future.
Oh, my God. Well, I do it because my dentist always asks me, have you been flossing your teeth? And I can't lie to him because who can tell? Because I'm, like, you know, quite in a torture position when I'm at my dentist.
She's scared of lying to her dentist.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, well, he has sharp implements.
So every night.
In my mouth.
Every day you're flossing. You're I've got to tell Dr. Johnson that I've been doing this.
He's a good Greek boy. He's got a long Greek
surname. Of course he is.
But gorgeous Stat. Shout out to Stat if you're listening.
I love it.
And also a Michael Jackson fan, but that's just a side point. this is where we bonded. But
not over the Greek stuff?
Oh, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, right, let's move on.
We definitely.
We need a whole show on Demetra and her group.
Yes. What was the other? That was the super. So I'm not far off being able to claim my super.
Yeah, but
that's not that far away.
The fact is that you've had the forethought about your future self, and you're doing things now. You were doing things at the time, putting money away for your future self.
Okay. Yep.
So climate change is a bit like that, where it's not an immediate threat.
Yeah.
It's slowly happening over time. And so because it's not an immediate, it's like that frog analogy.
Yeah, the frog in the pot.
Frog in the pot that slowly dies in the boiling water because it's happening so slowly.
Yeah.
And it's going to be devastating, but not today. So that's why people don't necessarily care immediately.
Yeah.
If it was so bad that we couldn't go outside tomorrow because the air was so polluted, we'd be outraged and protesting on the streets.
Yeah, it's true.
And so that's one reason. It's immediate.
Well, with the frog in the pot, I think that's a great explanation in the sense because we adjust as well. Like, you know, we get used to uncomfortable situations, even if it is devastating for us. Going right down to your personal, like your relationships, if relationships degrade over a time, you can get used to that and think that's the normal.
But that's also another problem. People are realizing that there's all these floods and there's all these fires, but people are adjusting to that and thinking it's normal, which is another reason for the apathy.
So you reckon that's separate to the, we can't, okay.
Another reason.
Oh, dear.
Do you want me to keep going or should we go to a little song?
Let's go to a song just to have a bit of a breather, I reckon.
And let us know, Joysters, like, are you feeling the apathy that I'm feeling? Don't be ashamed. It's anonymous.
Well, we're talking about it.
We're talking about it. It's Joy, 0427 Joy 949 or email us onair@joy.org.au. Let us know what you think.
Text us, please. Because
we get a lot. We can't read them all, but we love to hear from you.
Yeah, we do. I mean, this is the beauty of a live show is that we do interact with you. The ultimate social media.
And also, we've had like 400 downloads in the last couple of weeks. And we're like, who? Because we want to know who the audience.
Who are you?
So,
we love you.
If you've downloaded our show, let us know. We want to get to know you.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Go to the socials on Insta, Joy, or mine, Jean Margaret, and yours at Demetra
GKPS.
GKPS. If you go to joy.org, you'll find Joy. If you go to the Joy Insta, you'll find us there.
Yeah, because we do love to hear from you. It's just fun. It's just fun to get the immediate feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, this is a safe space. So if you're feeling apathetic about the climate change situation, please text us.
There's no judgment.
Because we're working through it. Today we're going to work through it.
We are. We're going to solve it.
Maybe. All right, let's go to a song, another lovely song, Rushing Back, featuring Vera Blue.
I put a few chilled ones in the morning, you know, just to ease into the day.
Is that a connection to global warming?
What?
The chill songs.
Why would it be a connection?
Because it's global warming and you've got chill songs.
Oh.
Let me explain whilst the songs play. Your Joy Weekend Breakfast. I finally made you laugh. Anyway, okay.
Oh, dear.
I always let the day slip away. I should have been making up my mind.
You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast with me, Jean.
And, it's me, Demetra, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
That was very chill. It was a beautiful song.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully people
I forgot what the name of the song was.
It was Rushing Back.
Lovely.
Mm.
Featuring Vera Lee.
Mm-hmm. Vera Blue.
Sorry.
Get it right, Demetra.
But the artist was Flume as well.
Yeah. There you go. You got that one right.
Yeah, beautiful. I love the songs that you select.
Gold star for you.
Gold star. Yeah, that's cool. I was chilling, which
you
is appropriate.
Can see your face. Go to the Joy live stream and you'll see this woman, and she is just a delight.
I'm glad I make you laugh.
Oh, you do. You're so funny, but you're also very clever, and it's just
Oh, thank you. I'm blushing now. Is there colour on the Joy? What colour is red, Demetra? Remember when we used to say that as little kids?
What?
What colour's red? You know, when you'd get embarrassed.
Oh, no.
Like, you know, someone that you really like came and spoke to you and then they'd walk off and then you'd get really, well, I don't know, I'm speaking about myself now, I'd get really shy
and they'd
blush. Mm. And then my friends would go, what colour's red?
Blushing's the worst feeling.
Well, it's, you know, it's hard to hide it.
Yeah, and you know it's happening, so then you start panicking. And
yeah. And then now combine that with menopause, so you can start blushing and not even mean it, and then you just give out the wrong impressions to people.
Don't get me started on the bloody hormones.
Never made that connection until just now.
What about?
The blushing at menopause. You blush at the most inappropriate times.
No, but with menopause, okay, let's leave this because we'll get into it. Okay. Back to the old.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about climate change, people, and the apathy that I feel and that other people feel. And that, you know, I was a bit ashamed, embarrassed to say that I don't care.
And then your co-host went all judgy on you.
Yeah, but then we've done a bit of a deep dive and. A Harvard professor, Dan Gilbert, I mentioned before, I read an article and there's a couple of reasons generally why people don't care, and one is because it's not an immediate threat.
Right.
The other ones are quite interesting. So we care about threats that come from people.
Okay.
So look at 9/11, right? Look at the immediate action that was taken after thousands of people were killed after 9/11. They used their resources, they invaded a country, know. But climate change.
We're still dealing with the consequences of it.
Yeah, but climate change has killed way more people than 9/11 with the floods and the fires and
right.
And but there's not that kind of immediate action, and that is one of the reasons that this professor Dan Gilbert says is because people care about threats from people. And so climate change, you can't put a face to it. Yes, there's big oil companies and, you know, the coal industry that are causing the effects.
Yep.
But there's no face that you can actually put to climate change as an issue.
Interesting.
So people care less when it's coming. So, for example, you know, people care about if someone in Gaza was burning and people care more about burning an Israeli flag than they do about burning coal.
Right.
Because it's a person doing it.
You're attaching it to a person right?
Yeah, which then leads to the other point about moral threats. So climate change isn't really a moral harm. It can be. In some situations, but we sometimes feel more outrage when there's an immediate, like if there's an immediate oil spill, right, and you can see it on the news, you see the penguins dying, you feel moral outrage.
Yep.
But generally, the slow burn of climate change isn't a moral issue in contrast to being insulted by people.
Yeah, interesting.
Or like the flag being burned because they've insulted, like if someone insults a queer community or insults your religion, you're outraged.
Yep.
But it's not, people don't feel that same outrage towards climate change because they don't see it as a moral issue.
Interesting.
It is, as I said, it is in some respects because of the big oil companies and what they're doing.
Yep.
But it's to a lesser degree because there's not a face.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around it because the issue about the morality of it. I mean, if it's the immediate threat, it's to you as an individual and the community you're involved in. But then you've got, why aren't I feeling the moral outrage of, well, it's actually affecting every single human on the planet, even those who are perpetuating it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's...
Because we can't... We come back to that frog in the pot analogy.
And then that also leads... Well, we do.
Okay.
But it also leads on to his other reason is that there's... We care more about threats with intent. So if I hit somebody with my car.
Touch wood.
Touch wood. No, I haven't. I just had to think for a minute. Have I recently?
Well, I hope not.
If I intentionally ram you down with my car, you're going to be outraged. But if I hit you with my car and I get out and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, that was an accident, you're not going to be as outraged because my intention wasn't there.
Yeah, sure.
And so the argument is that climate change itself isn't trying to kill us.
Yeah.
So if some – so nobody's
it's
actually –
it's not intentionally trying to kill us. Okay, no. Yeah.
It is doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a result of the actions of other people. So nobody's actually trying to make the climate warmer. That's not the intent of burning coal. That's not the intention.
No.
No. It's the result, but it's not the intent. So nobody's got the ill will to yeah. Does that make sense?
I understand. And that's the – what I keep thinking about is that the fossil fuel companies knew back in the 70s mm-hmm. that it was going to cause damage to the environment.
Yes.
So why isn't that at the forefront? I mean, you may not have the answer to this question, but why isn't that at the forefront of our minds that they actually knew it was causing harm and it is known that they then spent a lot of money, they being the fossil fuel industry, spent a lot of money trying to spread in disinformation, hide research that was showing that it is causing harm.
Yes. And so
it's like smoking.
Well,
it's like smoking because they didn't know it was causing harm at the beginning.
Exactly.
And then when they did realize that it was causing harm, they hid the truth of that.
Yes. And then that leads on to the politicization and the politicization of climate change leads to apathy. And also the fact that it's that these companies are purposefully creating confusion, which leads to apathy.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that more after a song and a short break about the politicization, because I think that's where I started to understand why I think I've had latent apathy on this issue. I also just want to clarify, you know how you used the description of you didn't have the intent to run me over?
Yeah.
Was that before or after I got judgy about the climate change issue?
I wouldn't run you over. I do it in a much subtler way, Demetra. Slowly.
You heard it here. Anyone, please, it's recorded. Please.
I drip little drips of arsenic in your coffee every week for the next.
Oh, no. It's me and my big mouth that always gets me into trouble. Anyway, let's go to a song and hear another lovely song. Here I Am, Tom Odell.
Yeah, I like this song. This one's more upbeat, people, so
okay,
get up, dance, make around some breakfast and let's get going.
You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast. You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast with me, Demetra.
And me, Jean. Welcome. 14 minutes to 9 on a lovely Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. And don't forget, we're on live stream. So yeah,
joy.org.au/live so you can see us. I'm dancing again. I'm shimmy. I'm a shimmy. Give us a shimmy.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
That's good radio.
She's good at it.
Hey. I'm not hesitating to say the Greek thing because we've got lots of shimmering music. We've got lots of, you know.
I thought you were going to say the Greeks invented shimmying.
They did. But we also have learnt from a very young age how to shimmy because we're great dancers.
Yes, you are. The entire population of Greeks.
We do love, Greeks love dancing. Come on. It's irrefutable.
Okay. I agree. I am not. Ever.
I'm trying now to pare back the whole Greek thing, you're just egging me on.
What are we talking about? We're talking about climate change and why. If you've just joined us, people, we're talking about climate change. We're not going deep dive into what it is and how it works, but we're talking about why people are apathetic towards it. Because I am, and
I think I'm discovering that something that I've been in denial about that potentially I might be as well. Hence my judgy of you when you posed this as a topic in our production meeting.
There's a lot of reasons why. And one of the reasons is the politicization of climate change.
Yeah.
And we've also had a text message come through from Adam from Broadie. He says, good morning, Demetra and Jean. I too am apathetic about climate change. I have too much other things going on in my life, like paying my bills and I can't read the next thing, paying my bills, that I just don't have the mental capacity to care.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for your honesty there.
Thank you. And that I'll talk about that as well, about the mental load and why women in particular, Adam may or may not be a woman, but there's a feminist argument too as to why women are apathetic. But we'll get to that. So,
politicisation of it.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, that's been something that we've been burdened with for quite some time, haven't we?
And I think
probably the early 90s, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. Remember Julia Gillard, the whole witch campaign started, I think.
And there was a rally with coal time. That's a good memory.
Ditch the witch. And that was all around her wanting to change the coal. I'll fact check that.
And Malcolm Turnbull, when he was opposition leader, lost that role when he was advocating for the carbon tax. Mm-hmm.
That leads into the money set, which we'll get to as well. Yeah. Who's profiting from the apathy?
But the thing that when you're looking at the issue and how that it was framed as a political debate was fundamentally, I think, from my reading, a pushback on scientific. You know, instead of dealing with the science of whether the effects of human involvement have caused the climate to change, rather than looking at the scientific facts, it went to
the culture wars.
Well, culture, and you know, which is kind of strange. It just made me think about how well. We had the Enlightenment, like, you know, that period of history that was about reason and scientific rigor, you know, following the Renaissance. Mm-hmm. And before that it was, you know, the church held a lot of responsibility, you know, governance, and we had monarchies, governance, you know. And it was unfortunate that science was destabilized or belief in science, because at the moment, I mean, the UN publishes that there is climate change affected by human causes, and there's unanimous understanding amongst the scientific community.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that it's happening. Of course, there's those climate deniers, and we won't really get into those arguments, but it's more that the politicization causes apathy, because once you start, it's like when they started using Indigenous issues and queer issues as political tools, they use climate change. And so with the partisanships, with, you know, one party has one idea about what they should do and another party has another idea about how they should tackle climate change. And so that just confuses people. And then also when you hear politicians talking about certain topics, sometimes you're like, I don't like you as a politician, so I'm not going to listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, did it coincide with our erosion of trust in our politicians? I mean, I just realizing that now as we're talking, it's like, because we had seen that steady decline of trust, and it's so unfortunate because they're so important to us. I mean, they're our government. They, you know, take care of so many important things in our lives, healthcare, education, et cetera, et cetera. You know, peace, you know. That's just tip of the iceberg, I know. But I just wonder if that's part of why we started to tune out. And as you said, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's like, why debunk that? I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit later because we've used the F word, feminism word.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking, you know, the whole debate about climate change is requiring us to question the status quo. And let me say, the status quo has been men running the show, you know?
Well, that's
true. And we're going to talk about this later. We do need to take a break. Unfortunately, because I feel like I'm trying to find my way through this discussion. I feel like I've touched on a raw nerve here in myself. I really do.
Yeah, and I, as a woman and a mother, There's certain reasons why I just don't have the brain capacity. And we spoke about the beauty myth last week and how women are oppressed by the beauty myth and beauty standards. And so that takes up room in our brains to be activists. And we'll get more to it. Do you want to go to a little song?
Yeah, we need a song. I'm feeling like we need lots of songs today.
It's very heavy, isn't it? Let's have a giggle.
Yeah. Well, let's have a groove at least. What's this next song? Where's My Love?
Yeah, this is beautiful.
Okay.
Sam Felt. Well, you pick
great songs, mate. Yeah. All right. You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast. You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast with me, Demetra.
And me, Jean. Welcome.
And it's, 2 minutes to nine already?
Yeah, it goes so fast.
Yeah.
When you're having fun and doing deep dives on these very hard-hitting topics.
Yeah, well, today we're exploring, you know, why don't we care about climate change?
Yeah, and we've had a message come in that says you come from a, because I have admitted that I don't. It's not on my priority list and it's not something that I really care about. And I care about a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And I was asking the question, why don't I care? And we had a message that has come in and it said, you come from a place of privilege. The impacts of climate change on you are negligible, but live somewhere where the impacts are very real and you might feel different. And that's absolutely true.
100% correct.
It affects different people around the world differently. And we are going to get to the class arguments.
Yes. And look, we've already touched on the frog in the pot idea, and also that there's not the direct threat to us, this moral, you know, the intent, the direct threat.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the morality of, well, what about the whole planet?
Well, and it is selfish for me. And I'll admit it, it's selfish. I like plastic straws.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. We'll get to this because it's a part of the extra mental load that's put on, particularly on women, that it's another thing we have to do.
Yeah. Well, we'll explore that.
We'll explore that. So stay tuned.
But we're touching on a really intriguing.
And you're welcome to judge me, but I'm learning and I'm being honest. And, you know, you can't. If I'm being honest, you can't judge. Is that right? Well,
anyway, here's some news.
Joy News. Joy News. Joy News.
Joy. National Radio News.
Good morning, I'm David Cameron. Hamas says it submitted a positive response to mediators over a Gaza ceasefire proposal, adding that it's seriously ready to enter immediate negotiations. The plan is believed to include the staggered release of 10 living Israeli hostages and the return of the bodies of 18 others in exchange for Palestinians held in Israeli jails. Israel has continued its bombardment of Gaza, ordering evacuations in the southern city of Khan Yunus. Medics at the Nasser Hospital say the Israeli military carried out an airstrike on a tent encampment west of the city. The World Health Organization has described the hospital as a massive trauma ward due to the number of patients wounded at food distribution sites. The Dutch intelligence service has accused Russia of increasingly using chemical weapons in Ukraine. It says Russia is using tear gas and a stronger chemical choking agent, chloropicrin. Russia denies the allegations, the BBC's Denny Eberhard reports.
Dutch intelligence cites Ukraine's defence ministry as saying Russia has carried out more than 9,000 chemical attacks since its full-scale invasion. The compounds it's alleged to use are not as dangerous as some chemical weapons, but are nevertheless banned. Chloropicrin is lethal in high concentrations in enclosed spaces. But Dutch intelligence says Russia uses such substances to force Ukrainian soldiers out of shelters where they can be more easily killed with conventional arms. The Dutch defence minister has warned of normalising such use.
Meantime, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's had a very important conversation with his US counterpart Donald Trump. It's the first time they've spoken since Washington announced it was freezing some weapons deliveries. Ukraine wants supplies for air defence systems to resume, including missiles for donated F-16 jets. Overnight, Russia carried out its biggest bombardment of Ukraine of the war. Queensland's Premier has announced a bid to host next year's Quad Summit, paving the way for US President Donald Trump to visit. The Quad is an Indo-Pacific security meeting of Australia, the United States, Japan and India. David Crisafulli says he's been lobbying the Prime Minister to bid for Brisbane to host the 2026 summit. NAIDOC Week officially begins today with the National Awards Ceremony to be held in Perth this evening, starting the celebration of First Nations history, culture and excellence. AFL legend and Indigenous rights activist Michael Long will be honoured with a Lifetime Achievement Award, telling the ABC he's humbled to be recognised.
I'm really looking forward to, you know, going to Perth and not only seeing the mob but having my family come along and celebrate as a part of that, which is an integral part of this award which has been bestowed upon me.
In tennis, Aussie Jordan Thompson is into the fourth round of Wimbledon for the first time, defeating Italy's Luciano Dodari. He'll now take on American Taylor Fritz. Meantime, Spain's Carlos Alcaraz is also through to the next round, despite what he says was a stressful match against veteran German Jan-Lennard Struff.
It was kind of a survive, I guess. Just as I said, I just really, really happy that at the end I got the break and it was more calm.
In the opening round game of the NRL Women's Premiership, the Bulldogs have defeated the Knights 26 points to 12. In the men's competition, the Broncos came from 18-0 down, scoring four tries in the final 20 minutes, beating the Bulldogs 22 points to 18.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast with me, Demetra.
And me, Jean. It's 4 minutes past nine.
Yeah, the news mentioned the tennis.
Oh, go on. I didn't
listen. Wimbledon's on at the moment.
I glazed over on that one.
One of my faves.
Just like
Coco Gauff is out already.
What sorry?
What was that like?
I was making a joke that's going to get me in trouble.
Well just before... Oh, I'm going to hear it back later.
Yeah.
We'll see. But talking about trouble, we did just sort of end our first hour with you proclaiming innocence of, well, I'm being honest, so why are you judging me? And I couldn't quite answer that on the spot, one, because we had to go to the news, but also I hesitated and I'm really worried about that because, well, if you're honest and then I'm judgy, well, that's just going to shut down the conversation.
And then nobody's going to be honest about how they're feeling. So,
and we can't address issues like this, you've tapped into something, this apathy around climate change.
You can't engage in discourse with people if they're too scared to give their honest opinion because of fear of judgment.
Yeah, I'm realising this.
Yeah, if you've just joined us, we're talking about climate change and my apathy towards it, my lack of knowledge, and the fact that I don't really care about it. It's not at the forefront of my mind. And I feel guilty about it, but I'm also being honest about it. And yeah, so as a woman, actually quickly, we've just got a message that's come through and the message says, no judgment, your single plastic straw is not going to end the world. We should be focused on big corporations and the impact they have on the environment. They are mostly run by men with too much money. That is where we should be focused. So no guilt, no judgment, no blame. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, as a mother, okay, from a feminist lens, right, so generally, mothers and women who care, generally it's the women that care for the elderly parents and the children. And they're the primary caregivers. And so they're expected to be the emotional regulators and the nurturers and the carers and the organisers of everything in the house. And so not just at home, but sort of in society. And so climate change becomes just one more thing you have to do and that you're told to fix and that you're made to feel guilty about. Like, you know, I had a birthday party for my twins a couple of years ago and I was having all these parents around to the house and I was like, oh my God, should I use plastic plates? Are they going to judge me? What about balloons out the front? It just sent me into a tailspin about the judgment that I might get. And it's just, you know, I've got three kids. One's got a disability, and that's where my mental load goes generally.
Yeah.
And the other sort of feminist argument is that we're burnt out by capitalism.
Interesting.
So we're operating in a system that tells us to care more, but it doesn't actually give us any of the material to do so.
Oh.
Because we're, you know, we're not the rich ones.
Well,
no. We are. We're middle class, but we can't afford an electric vehicle. I can barely afford organic food.
Well, relatively speaking, there's no argument that women do not receive the same compensation in work, et cetera, still to this day for same job. So already we're behind the eight ball there.
And we're also not paid for any of the work that we do in the home.
No.
Or recognised. The other one, obviously, is the beauty myth as well. It ties back into that we're oppressed by having to look a certain way, and we're judged on the way we look and how old we are, and that takes up room in our brains. And also women are taught not to get angry.
Yeah.
And so that's inbuilt in us. So it's changing with the younger generations.
Well, I mean, I mentioned it very briefly before about, you know, the fact that climate change and actually doing something about it is going to completely upend how we function as a society. I mean, I love all the benefits that coal and oil has given us. You know, it's fantastic.
And we also,
since the Industrial Revolution, right? It's been amazing, and big reason that certainly Western societies have advanced considerably, lots of many ways in a good way. But we're now realizing that there has been a cost to that, and unfortunately, it looks like it's translated to being affecting the environment. So I don't think there's an argument that governments, etc., have been mainly populated by men. I mean, it's only within the Industrial Revolution that women could even vote. Mm-hmm. You know, we did that show a little while ago.
Yeah, we did. Go to the podcast.
We should know the date because it was the date of the federal election.
First Saturday of May.
And so, like, men have been in charge, and I'm going to say it. It's that our need to change how our society is set up, particularly energy, because energy is fantastic. I don't want to stop energy. We won't have joy if there was no electrical energy. Then maybe it's because the resistance is, well, the opposing power, they're not going to have that power anymore. Maybe they're trying to get that power. I don't know. Like, that will change. It has to change.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if that's on the larger scale what you're saying on the in-home scale.
Yeah, and then there's also the fact that people are benefiting economically from the apathy.
Yeah, and we should talk about that, because you've touched on this fantastic issue. And yet again, you know,
they're deliberately making us apathetic because they're making money out of oil and coal.
Yeah,
and that's another reason that we're apathetic. Because we're being conditioned to be apathetic on purpose.
Mm.
It's very interesting, people.
It is interesting.
But, yeah, you don't have the mental capacity to care about everything. So I do care about certain things. I care about affordable healthcare. I'm really passionate about that.
Yep.
I care about, public housing and access to public housing. I care about welfare and supporting people having a really decent welfare system. And there's an argument that's to be made that says if you fix these things, because as Adam messaged in, he's too busy worrying about paying the rent than to care about climate change.
Yep.
So if you bring people up to a standard of living where they're comfortable and you fix these issues, then they'll have the brain capacity to do more and care more.
Oh, that's very interesting.
You like that?
I think it's very interesting. You always raise very interesting points. Let's go to a song so we can digest this, what you've talked about. What's the next song? Loud Places. A cool name for a song.
Another good fun one.
You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast.
You're on Joy 94.9, Joy Weekend Breakfast with me, Jean, and the lovely
Demetra.
Do you like how I screamed it down the mic?
That's very kind of you.
I use lovely a little. I'm gonna mix it up.
Okay.
The wise.
We are.
The funny Demetra.
Oh, funny. Okay.
You prefer funny or wise? Diplomatic.
All of it. You put it all in a sentence? But look, we're doing some real soul searching today. I feel like I'm doing some soul searching today because, you know, we're talking about climate change. Well, more specifically, the apathy around climate change.
And I don't think, sorry to cut you off, but I think I may be in the majority.
Well, I'm really surprised we're getting some other of our wonderful joysters being equally honest. And, I was judgy when you posed this as a topic and were honest with me about your attitude towards, you know, your apathy towards climate change. And I was so judgy, and I'm not proud of that.
Well, thanks for being honest about that. But you're admitting that you were judgmental, and now you're open-minded and you're listening to the arguments about why people are apathetic.
Yeah.
And now I think you're changing your views a little bit.
100%. Like, well, firstly, you know, I've got to make sure I learn from before I judge someone to ask, why am I judging? And ask a question further about what the other person's saying, mm-hmm. what you were saying, or where does that come from? But then not to assume that I know everything, because I think that's also where judgy comes from, because clearly there are a lot of people who are feeling the apathy.
I don't know the stats, and I haven't fact-checked any of it, but I think that most people, like Adam, and this is in Australia where we're not a developing country, but in Australia, a lot of people are more concerned about how they're going to pay their mortgage and how they're going to, than recycling.
Yeah.
And
even though, because it needs to be acknowledged, we have had the devastating bushfires not that long ago. 2020 was the most recent of the catastrophic bushfires. And of course, I think it was 2010s, was it, when we had the
Black Saturday. But then again, that goes back to the argument that the Harvard professor, what's his name? Sorry, I've lost my notes.
Was it Gibney?
Gibson, yeah. Makes about, we get used to seeing all these floods.
Right.
We get used to seeing these bushfires. And that, again, contributes to the apathy.
Well, and Australian law is about bushfires, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the massive bush, like the catastrophic destruction of people's homes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I did get you mid-thought, so I hope I haven't.
Well,
I
was. My point was that people in Australia, a well-off country, relatively speaking, are probably more concerned and worried about how they're going to pay the mortgage and the mm-hmm. stress of the financial stress and all sorts of other things like. The healthcare system, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Compare that to someone living in a slum in a favela in Brazil.
Yeah.
Just trying to make, survive. They're not going to care about climate change.
Well, I don't know.
So it goes back to my point that I made before. Until you bring people up to a level where they can live.
Yeah.
And
have an immediate, like this is something you said before, right, about the immediate impact. You're going to deal with the immediate threat to you. So if you can't pay your bills and they're going to shut off your electricity,
mm-hmm.
Or you can't buy food for your family.
Your car's been declined. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then climate change isn't on your list.
Well, it's probably a lower priority because it's something that's off in the distance. You touched on it before the break about inequality, and if we were to address inequality and deal with at least the cost of living issues that people, especially in Australia, we have so much in Australia. Why is it fellow Australians really struggle? Like, this is, I would say, a blight on our wonderful country.
Yes, indeed.
But if people didn't have to worry about that, there'd be more space in their brain, hopefully,
to think about things like climate change.
Yeah, and taking actions at well, don't have an immediate impact, but science is telling us is going to have an impact down the track.
Mm-hmm. Well, our brains are predisposition. Our brains are wired to focus on immediate threats. And yep. because it's not immediately happening to us, then we focus on what is immediately happening to us. And yep. everyone's got their own situations, their personal lives and what's going on. We've had a couple of messages come through. It's about oatmeal.
I think that's a spam.
Here's a message. We all would want to recycle, but even a small look at this stupid can deposit scheme isn't worth people having bags of cans taking up space in their yards. The drink companies and the supermarkets put up their prices more than what you would get back if you recycled them. So people just don't bother.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not fact checked. We're just reading that off from a text. But
when I do drive past those can deposit schemes, I always get a little I'm like, oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe I haven't deep dived into it. Maybe there's because for every for example, you said you went vegan or vegetarian over lockdown.
Yeah.
But then
and that was a climate change issue.
But then you think about the fake meat that they're trying to make these days.
Right.
How much energy goes into that? How much packaging goes into that? How many chemicals go into that?
So have they done a holistic comparison of that versus
the meat industry?
The meat industry.
And I don't know the answer to that, but yeah.
All right, we need to take a break.
Yeah. I also want to address people's hypocrisy too. Like people that are vegans but wear leather shoes.
Isn't that a whole other – maybe we need to do a show on hypocrisy.
Okay.
And it starts – hypocrisy, a Greek word.
The Greeks. Yeah, but
that's an absolute, isn't it?
And it's
one thing,
you know,
or the other.
Yeah, people walk around with iPhones made by, you know, small Chinese children.
Has that been fact-checked?
Well –
on that note, let's go to a song.
I'll just go ask ChatGTP and we'll get back to you.
After a wonderful reminder about our diverse communities, because we've got to put a little sting in there, we're going to a song called Firestone by Kygo.
And also, guys, we've got a podcast. So do all the things. Go download it. Give us a review. Like, subscribe. Do all the stuff because it helps us. And we want to know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Or text us if you've been downloading us. Where can you find the downloads? It's the Joy website, joy.org.au/joyweekendbreakfast.
Yeah, just Google Joy. And, yeah, it's always on my Instagram. It's on the Joy Instagram. You can find people. Come on. 2025. You're on Joy 94.9. I was just about to put some lip balm on.
I got you mid lip balm.
It is 28 minutes to 10.
And if you just joined us, I'm Demetra.
Sorry.
Who are you?
I'm Jean. You're listening to Joy Weekend Breakfast with Demetra and Jean. And today, if you've just joined us, we're talking about climate change, particularly in light of the fact that I've been honest to say that I'm apathetic about it. And there's actually a lot of reasons why I think, and I haven't fact-checked it, but I think a lot of people are in the same boat as me. They're apathetic towards climate change. And there's very, very valid psychological reasons. And there's also reasons relating to who's profiting.
Yeah.
And so we've had a text message come in and the text message says, until we change our attitude on accepting mass disposable consumerism to make our lives easier, the corporations will continue to supply products, etc., at the sake of the environment.
But what comes first though? Chicken and egg, right? Like if we stop buying those products, and number one, they're like plastic bottles for water,
mm-hmm.
which I think is, don't have stats on it, but markedly reduced with that use of disposable, reusable bottles. If consumers stop buying, they're not going to make it, they're not going to keep making it.
Yeah, but the other thing is, and I don't know the answer to this, but, you know, all these keep cups and water bottles and all of that, what about, like, the manufacturing that goes into that and the waste that people throw out? I've got 1,000 I've got 1,000 drink bottles in my house.
That'd be 1,000?
1,000? It would.
10 times 100?
Oh, yeah. Is it 1,000? Did me maths. Did me maths. My maths is good. But most of them end up in the bin.
Right.
And I'd say that that's...
And not, it's not recyclable. They're not recyclable, are they?
I don't think so. And so, and also the energy that goes into creating them.
Well, it's that whole life, that whole of cycle. And what's it called? The circular economy. So where something's produced that then can be, or is that what kind of what we're saying, where it can be used? Or no, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. I'm sorry, I'm externally processing, peeps. Where you look at the whole cycle of creating something and compare it rather than just the end product.
Yeah. And so that relating to the text about mass disposable consumerism. So, like, I've made a decision that I'll only shop at op shops from now on for clothes.
Right. Okay.
But that's not necessarily to do with the environment. That's economic reasons and also my best clothes.
But haven't we just unpacked economic is also linked in to being able to have the capacity to work on what you can do for climate change?
Yes.
Because if you have extra dollars, you're not worrying about where am I going to pay the next bill.
No, you can afford to buy an electric car. You can afford to buy organic food, all of that too.
Yeah. Change your habits.
Get solar panels, all of that sort of stuff. All costs money.
Yeah, buy appliances, new appliances, or buying appliances that are, you know, well, supposedly eco-friendly.
5-star rating, which also has been, I think, proven to be BS.
Well, I mean, there's been some mistrust about some of these things. I mean, that Volkswagen was found to have been suspect with how did they dealt with the emissions and the software associated with that.
And so that
they've done a lot to try to address that loss of trust.
Yeah. And that leads into the whole argument about who is benefiting from the apathy. And so you mentioned before that the fossil fuel companies deliberately hid and muddied public understanding since the 1980s and before.
Yeah. And they're certainly aware of it in 77. Yeah.
And it's the reason is because they're profiting from it.
Yeah. Look, and we've benefited from it as well. I mean, I'm concerned, and this is, you know, because we've unpacked, in myself, I've unpacked this that I was judgy. My first response was to be judgy, and then starting to realize, well, am I partly apathetic? And then, well, we've known that there's been this the collective way, but, you know, since that film with Al Gore, Inconvenient Truth, we discovered that it had been hidden. That was a long time ago, and yet haven't made, you know, massive changes to my life in order to try to right that wrong. So a willful ignorance, even amongst us, if we knew that there's been this lying, or not, you know, not demanding more of those who can make a difference, starting with our governments. I don't know.
Yes, that's true.
And then it was a big rant, wasn't it?
Well, no. It was a clever rant. It
felt like a rant.
It wasn't a rant.
All right, thank you. Thanks for indulging me.
You're welcome. and then there's the whole greenwashing too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was also for economic reasons, because brands wanted to look like they cared about the environment, so they would claim that their products are sustainably sourced and ethically made, when a lot of that was actually untrue and the ACCC has come out, and that there's a lot of cases at the moment where they're being held accountable for the lies that they're being.
Right, okay.
But that's also benefiting economically from climate change and making us feel guilty or capitalising on our apathy.
All of the above.
All of the above. Another message has come through.
Well, actually, sorry, I just want to pick up on that because that's an interesting point that you make. It's just occurring to me now. So if we think, again, I mean, this is, you know, willful ignorance or comforting ignorance. If we think a company is saying, oh, we take care of the environment, blah, 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 but here buy this plastic container, maybe that makes us feel better about buying that plastic container. And that's, well, that's on us, right? Like, why aren't we seeing through that?
Well, it really, yeah.
Oh, gee. I think we've got some comfort. Oh, that's a long text. We're going to go to a song.
Yeah. Also decision fatigue, you mentioned.
Yeah, let's talk about that because, again, you've brought up, I feel like you've picked up this rock, my friend, and all these, you know, critters are crawling out and you just, yeah, you're, let me just say it, you're amazing with your questions and your honesty.
No.
Radical honesty. Is that the expression? I don't know. Maybe I'm misusing that expression. No,
I'm just being myself and hoping for the best. 25% of people love me, 75% not so much.
Well, who cares about the 75%?
Yeah.
I'm the 25%.
I know you are. So it's all that matters. You know,
all right. Let's go to a song. You were right. Completely appropriate. You were right, Rufus DeSole. You're on Joy Weekend Breakfast.
You were right. I know I can't get enough of you.
You're on
Joy for you. Damn Joy it. For me. Joy for everybody. Joy.org.au.
I'm sorry.
No, that's my fault.
Why?
I'm on the panel today, peeps, and I didn't press the button hard enough.
All right. Well,
sorry, my friend.
Blame Demetra for the poor radio quality.
Oh, it's not that bad.
No.
We've been talking on a hard-hitting topic, and there are so many things that have bubbled up. It's climate change, particularly the apathy around climate change that you were very honest about raising, and me acknowledged how judgy I can be.
No, but you judged me initially, but now you've had a look, you've investigated.
Oh, judgment. Yeah, it's a thing.
Judgment.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I've searched in myself that perhaps I was projecting and realised, well, maybe I'm a bit apathetic and I'm just trying to understand why.
Well, it's very self-aware of the both of us, okay?
But we're also really impressed with many Joysters who are texting in on, I think, a quite a difficult topic and similarly being really open and honest.
Yeah, we've got a great message. There's no name to it, I'll read it out. Don't feel bad about feeling a bit apathetic about climate change. That's to be expected. There is a huge amount of money coming from corporations and individuals and the media who make a fortune from fossil fuels and single-use plastics, who spend a lot of that money trying to distract from what's happening to the planet. Mm-hmm. It's not a competition between cost of living and climate. We can walk and chew gum, but we are made to think that they are incompatible. They're not. Scientists tell us that we are going to see massive consequences from climate change. It's not a possibility, it's a certainty. So we all have to dig into our lives to see how we can do our bit, and we must hold corporations to account.
Yeah.
And so that is one of the issues, is that I think around about 100 companies cause over 70% of global emissions, right? And so when you do stuff at home, you think, well, it's what's the point? But every single little thing we do does count towards, you know, changing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, it's bringing up a really good point about picking your thing and, you know, because hypocrisy is a Greek word, I want to be aware of where there is hypocrisy. Obviously, within yourself, because change yourself first. You know, good old Mahatma Gandhi said, you know, be the change you want to see in the world.
Clean up your real side of the street. Did he say that?
He may have. Look, I'm sure it's a very wise saying, my friend. I'm sure he did. And just being aware of, particularly in yourself, like if you feel like you're not interested in something, speaking to someone about it, and why aren't you? What is it about a particular issue? I mean, in this case, it's about climate change. And I mean, you touched on something earlier about, you know, you got a lot of responsibilities with your kids and, you know, running a household. And you reminded me of this concept called decision fatigue. She said, look, I don't have time to be doing whatever, you know, I need to, you know, other things. And it's an idea. I know some people maybe argue against decision fatigue, but, you know, when you see like Steve Jobs and even good old Zuckerberg, they wear the same thing over and over again because they say, well, I want to reduce the number of decisions I have to make because I have to make lots of decisions. Mm-hmm. I know in myself, if, you know, when you have lots of decisions, you get to a particular point of the day, it's like, I'm done. I'm switching my brain off. So,
and especially when you don't know whether the decision is the right or wrong decision.
Well, that's that too, isn't
it? It's like, I think I heard somewhere, if you throw a can of tuna in the recycling bin, if there's remnants of tuna on it, it can't be recycled.
Oh.
I could be wrong. I haven't fact checked it.
I never wash my cans and things.
No, but apparently you're supposed to rinse your milk cartons out, all of that, which right. again leads to that whole thing that there's the pressure. It's just
another job to do.
And when you've already got a million things on your mind, it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's also not. It's not hard to go to the op shop, and it's not hard to recycle.
Or find your thing that you find most exciting about the bit of addressing, you know, the factors that have been known to affect climate change, or the people who could do something about it, like corporations. I mean, they've got the ability to do something about it.
And they are the main contributor. So we need to free our headspace so that we can protest and get behind it.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I've said it before, but I love all the benefits of the industrial age, particularly electricity. I'm looking at all these screens in front of me and, you know, I love them having a lot of energy that is affordable. I mean, there's that, you know, dollar figure as well, and that it's great to have that. And the last thing I'd want is it to become unaffordable where you limit your time with electricity or whatever it might be, because it's become super, I mean, it is urgent now about dealing with climate change.
And we love the luxuries that come with the things that are hurting the planet.
And it doesn't have to be one or the other. I think that's the other thing that we talked about, politicisation, where it's like being us or them, one or the other, male, female, the whole binary. I mean, you know, we say F the binary now, don't we, thankfully, just, you know, on the gender question. Well, why not across our entire society? It doesn't have to be one. It doesn't have to be human versus nature. It doesn't have to be, you can only do this, you can't do that. I mean, a rainbow is in between black and white, right? You know, let's be part of the rainbow. Oh my God, where did that come from?
I like it. I'll clip it. I'll make it into a little clip.
Oh dear, where did that come from? See what you do to me, Jean. Well, I can't believe we're wrapping up now. It's 8 minutes too.
How many do we have to go?
Not right away, no. I'd love to hear more from you about, like, where you've come to with this discussion.
Well, I'm not as ashamed about not caring as much as I should, because I've examined the reasons why, and that's made me feel better, because okay. I think that I'm in the majority. I could be wrong. But I think that I am. In the entire world, the 8 billion people, I think that most of those people are more concerned with trying to just survive.
Okay.
And I'm not I'm not comparing myself to someone living in, you know, India or wherever.
Or on the Pacific Islands they're seeing the effects sea levels rising.
Correct. But I've got, you know, three children and child with disability, and it's not in the forefront of my mind. But I do care about things like affordable healthcare. And as I said, I care about, you know, having a good welfare system. And as I've made the point, if you bring people up to a livable standard, it gives them room to care about these other issues.
Yeah. Well, that's a fantastic point about they're all interconnected. All these issues are interconnected, and it in a way that's never made obvious, but should be made more obvious. Like you said, if you want to address, you know, financial equality, well, that is actually a way of addressing
climate change.
100%. Oh,
so you're going to be less judgmental?
I'm not proud of that. That I'm judgmental, but thank you for bringing it to my attention.
Well, don't judge yourself for being judgmental. We all do it. We all do it.
Yeah.
And it's having the self-awareness to say, you know what, I was, and now I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm on alert for it.
Yeah. And I'm on alert that I will make more of a concerted effort to listen when it's on the news and continue to shop at the op shop. And continue to use my reusable bags at the supermarket, and I'll continue to try to recycle as best that I can.
Wonderful. Well,
and I'm planting. I love gardening.
Well, you do love gardening. Well, that's an important thing, isn't it? Yeah. For our community. We didn't even talk about that.
Hmm.
Wow. Well, another
great
weekend breakfast.
Great show. Tick.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And please
sharing this space on a Saturday morning. And Joyce, as we love having you on board and all your texts.
Yeah, and thanks for contacting us on social media. We love hearing from you. So you can go to the Joy social media or Jean Margaret, or you can go to Demetra
GKPS.
GKPS. And leave us a message. And yeah. Just we love the dialogue.
Yeah, and thank you very much, everyone who's texted in on quite a difficult topic, and a big, big thank you to Mia Waterman, our podcaster.
Yeah.
If you just missed the show, then you can go to the podcast page on Joy Weekend Breakfast.
And we'll be back next week, so get excited, put it in your diary, and just get pumped, because we know you are. We know you are.
Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
Bye.
It could be so simple, I could be so true to you. You were just a lover in my heart, you were temporary. You were just another, you were just a lover. I can't bear for you to leave. It could be so simple, I could be so true to you.